J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
You know, when it comes to technology, improvements never end. That seems to be the natural order of things. But lately, in the field of recording, they may have come up with the last link in the chain of evolution. We've gone from Edison's cylinder to the 78 RPM disc to 33s, 45s, open reel tape to cartridges and cassettes. And now we're up to the compact audio disc. It's an entire album, but it's as thin as a wafer and much smaller than a 45 single. 4.7 inches to be exact, and no grooves. The digital information on the disc is read by a laser beam. That means if there are any fingerprints and dust on the record, all the laser picks up is the information which is decoded as music, exactly the same as the musician recorded it. The laser disc, which began test marketing recently, has got a lot of people very excited. But don't worry about your LPs becoming obsolete overnight. The players for these compact audio discs are currently selling for close to $1,000. And the discs themselves cost $17 a piece. It'll take a while, but if it lives up to its promise, it could be the ultimate way to listen to music. And that's my report on what may or may not be the wave of the future. The Laser Red Compact Digital Audio Disc.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, April 25th, 2023. Thank you, Casey Kasem, for the update on technology. You know, when I got my first iPod and I showed it to my dad was in his 80s at the time, and I said, he was like, I can make 1,000 songs in this thing. And he just looked at it and just sort of shook his head like, there's got to be witchcraft involved or something. Eventually, somebody's just going to install a chip in your temple, and you'll think of a song, and it'll just start playing. If you think that that is hyperbole, I don't really think it is. I mean, most of us already have a chip in our bloodstream because of our COVID shots, so all they have to do is activate that chip and just say, play music, and it'll just play through your bloodstream. I used to have a bone phone. It was back in the 70s. You know, they're making them again, I see. They're not called bone phones, but it's the same concept. And I also noticed that they're making earbuds that way now, too, where nothing actually goes inside your ear canal. Basically, your skeleton responds as a conduit to the music that is being played out of a little thing that you wrap around your neck, or in this case, like I said, in the buds, they actually press against the side of your head, which of course is bone, that's skull. And you just let this thing hang around your neck, at least the one I had, and there's like a little Velcro thing on it. And you would just drape this thing around the back of your neck and let it sort of hang down your collarbone right about there. And you would walk along and you could hear all the music. You could hear everything. But then obviously you could also hear everything else around you, which is really nice because you know how it is. Just somebody trying to talk to somebody, got earbuds in, you know, like got to repeat everything about 15 times until they finally pull the buds out and go, what'd you say? And I know it doesn't sound like anything that would work, but I promise you I've tried it and it works. And in my case, the only thing that was no good about it is that this thing was just hanging around your neck and it was hot. Not the actual machine, if you will, itself, but it was hot outside. You had this thing draped around your neck and it really wasn't very comfortable. But yeah, Casey thought that was the end of the line there. Oh, we can't go any further than compact discs. This has got to be the end in terms of technology. We've hit the absolute epitome of what science and technology can do in terms of music reproduction. And here it is, the compact disc. Here, Casey, take a look at this iPod.
Well, I'll be a son of a bitch. Is Don on the phone?
Actually, I sound more like a cross between Casey Kasem and Donald Trump right there. The poll that came out over the weekend says that 5% of Americans, this is all potential voters, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, all points in between. What do we do? Trump versus Biden. What do? We leave the country, apparently, because only 5% of voting Americans want that scenario again. Biden, of course, this morning, bright and early, was up, announcing he was running for president again. Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. I'm actually going to reserve a lot of comments because there were even people on Facebook yesterday saying, oh man, you're going to have a hell of a podcast tomorrow. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm not really sure, and I'll tell you why. I think there's a lot more that is going to come out about all this stuff, and it hasn't come out yet. Just even in the last 12 hours, the story about Tucker Carlson has been, you know, sort of updated, and we now know that it was Rupert Murdoch himself who ordered the firing of Tucker Carlson, and everybody just sort of naturally assumed maybe it was even like one of those quid pro quo things where we say, okay, we're not going to pay you the $1.6 billion, but we'll give you $787 or whatever it was. We'll give you $787, and this won't be in writing. It's not going to be in writing, but you pull Tucker Carlson off the air. That's what I thought happened in the first few hours after the story broke yesterday, that it was just one of those deals. They said, we're not going to put this on paper, but you got to pull him off the air. That's one of the other things that we want in terms of the settlement of this lawsuit. So that's what I thought. And then I guess it was yesterday evening. It's like, no, that's actually not what happened. It apparently didn't have much to do with the Dominion thing, although there is the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back, but that's neither here nor there. So apparently it's the newer lawsuit against Tucker Carlson from the former, I guess she was an intern or an assistant or something in the newsroom. And she just said the Fox News channel, not the on-the-air stuff, but everything back in the offices, you know, that is like a petri dish for sexual harassment and the denigration of women, and it's a cesspool, it's a toilet, and somebody's got to do something about it. And we know already, because of the departure of people like Bill O'Reilly, even over at CBS with Charlie Rose, even over at NBC with Matt Lauer, that there's just something about men who get into positions of power in electronic media where they're thinking to themselves, this is great. I'm the anchor guy. I'm the face of this network. Now let's go get some pussy. That just seems to be what their attitude is. And this is where I get in trouble because people attack me, but I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And that is that women are attracted to men of power. We all know that. And if you're funny, that that starts to create an exponential rise in male-female relations, because you get young women who come in. They are, you know, impressionable in many cases. They want to get to the top. They sort of see how things are running, and they go, all right, you are a serious journalist, and you wouldn't do anything like go fucking anchor man to try to get ahead in your job. But you know what? I would. And I think he's sort of cute. I think he's handsome. And this is sort of exciting for me. And maybe it isn't for you, and that's fine. You just go back to your computer and just keep clacking away there. I'm going out with these guys after work. There are always, always going to be women who will make themselves, shall we say, available to men who have power and influence. And like I said, if you're funny, it even helps even more than that. I've seen it everywhere. I'm trying to see if I saw it at Channel 2. I don't think I saw it at 2, but I definitely saw it at 4, and I really saw it at Channel 5 when I was there. And it wasn't all, you know, sleazy and salacious. I mean, think about it. You go into work at, like, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, and you get out at 5, and then you go home, and maybe you do nothing. Maybe you're tired and you just want to go to sleep because you know you got another long day ahead of you and pressure filled and everything like that. And, you go back into work and one day it hits you. I'm spending more time with these people, with my coworkers, and it's not just true of media, it's everywhere. I'm spending more time with the people I work with than I spend with my friends or my family or even if you're married or living with somebody, you're like, I'm giving you maybe 3 hours of awake time. I'm giving them 8-9 hours of awake time. It's the perfect environment for people to just start checking each other out. And the next thing you know, you got something. And there were lots of people boinking each other. And some of the relationships just sort of burned out. And some of them, you know, moved on to the next step. There's people all over the place. We just had one, that Casey Nolan, who was on Channel 5 for like 100 years. And then the little chick with the Abby something, the one that didn't have a chin, whole bottom half of her face was missing. And they just got married and they ran off somewhere, I think, Washington, D.C. You had Malcolm Briggs was doing the sports for Channel 5. And Matush Galindo, who was part of our show for a while, they met at Channel 5. He asked her out repeatedly and she kept saying no. In today's environment, that probably would have been sexual harassment. You ask once and you could even get in trouble. See, this is what I don't understand. How you just ask once, hey, would you like to go out? No. And by the way, I'm going to see HR. Why? He didn't do anything wrong. He thought maybe you might be interested. And if you don't ask, you'll never know. So I asked, you said no. That's the end of it. That's not sexual harassment. That's curiosity. That's human nature. Now, if you're going around still bugging her, still asking her out, if you start to retaliate in some way, even if it's very subtle, like in meetings and stuff like that, where you roll your eyes back in your head because she makes a suggestion for a story or something like that at the big meetings they have every afternoon where they decide what stories they're going to do, you do something like that, yeah, you start calling her or sending messages, whatever. Yes, then that is sexual harassment. But just asking somebody out or just sort of buzzing around their desk once in a while, just figuring, all right, I'm trying to decide here. I'm trying to get to know you a little bit. The problem is that, sometimes guys misinterpret what they think is just playing hard to get when they're just not interested at all. Get out of here. But there's lots of sex going on in television newsrooms. And there's also sex going on in television newsrooms involving people who are already married. Well, I mean, look at the other one. And this was confusing because, well, let me back up and start the story from the other side because it'll make more sense. So at Channel 5 back in the 90s, in the early part of the 2000s, there was an anchorman by the name of Randy Jackson. All right. And then on weekends, he was paired with another reporter by the name of Gene Jackson. They were not related in any way and they were not married and they just happened to have the same last name. But there was nothing there. Randy Jackson had nothing to do with Gene Jackson except the fact that they had the same last name and they were on the same newscast. However, at the same time, there was a relationship going on between Gene Jackson, who was married at the time, and another television anchor person at that station. And one day they walked in and they said, he's divorcing his wife, I'm divorcing my husband, and the two of us are now a thing. And they got married. As far as I know, they're still married. You imagine at Channel 4 how many male reporters and anchor people and everything took a run at Laura Hediger until they found out, oh my God, when she takes her makeup off, I don't even know who she is. She didn't even look like the same person. And oh, by the way, she's a fucking bubblehead. Let's see what Laura's into this morning.
Yeah. It is a big day, National Zucchini Bread Day.
Oh, I love zucchini bread.
I did. National Zucchini Bread Day. Oh, man, she makes my head hurt. All right. So anyhow, going back to this scenario yesterday with Don Lemon and with Tucker Carlson. So, yeah. So National Zucchini Bread Day. All right. And she prefaced it with, it's a big day around here. They had a meeting earlier today. They had a meeting and said, hey, today is National Zucchini Bread Day. Let's put that in the first segment. Let's get to that right away because people are really interested. Oh, God. So the big man himself, Rupert Murdoch, came along and said, get rid of this fucking guy. I'm tired of him. So, you know, Tucker Carlson will end up probably at Newsmax or OAN or something like that. And then Don Lemon, who's really been pushing his luck. And here's a guy who also worked at Channel 2 a while back. He was there for like 2 years. And, you know, I wish gay men would stop talking about women's issues, women's problems, women's reproductive systems. You know, Lindsey Graham just yakking away about abortion, what the abortion laws ought to be. Here's a guy who's never even slept with a woman. It sort of nullifies whatever impact his opinion could possibly be, you'd think. And Don Lemon talking about, you know, when a woman is or isn't in her prime. And I will say this, I'm going to defend Don Lemon right here. What Don Lemon said was not untrue. The way he said it and the situation, the setting was wrong. But what he said was not untrue. And that's not my opinion, by the way, because I happen to think that anybody who can do anything effectively is in their prime. If what you do for a living, you're still effective at, you're in your prime. Fucking Nancy Pelosi is in her prime right now, or was. She's like 100. Meanwhile, Josh Hawley is a young guy, I guess he's in his 30s, and he's a fuckhead. But Don Lemon, you know, another gay man trying to somehow inject his opinion about whether or not a woman is in her prime, because he read that somewhere. He even said, you know, people forget that, because when they pushed back the two female co-anchors that he was on the set with that day, they started pushing back, and he said, Google it. And he's right. And you know how I know he's right? Because women have already confirmed it. Now, I'll go back and I'll tell you something that I was a huge, huge fan of, the television series Inside Amy Schumer. It was either HBO or Showtime. I can't recall. But anyhow, it was on for a couple of seasons. It was sketch comedy, and it was just some of the best writing and performing I've ever seen in comedy. She is really, really good at this stuff. But the scripts were great. They did a spoof of Friday Night Lights, which was as funny as anything I've ever seen. And then funnier than that was they had her and this other actor who was in a lot of the sketches as employees of a fast food place, but they wrote it like it was an Aaron Sorkin script. It was remarkable. If I was going to make a list of the top 30 or 40 sketches that I've ever seen on television, that would be somewhere in the top 30 or 40. It was that good. Which brings us to our point now about the whole women's thing. So one of the sketches they did, I believe it was in the final season of Inside Amy Schumer, they did a thing where she stumbles upon like a little gathering of women who are sitting around a table and commiserating about something. And when you look and you get closer, you realize it's famous actresses. And in fact, it's Tina Fey, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Patricia Arquette. And the sketch is called Last Fuckable Day.
You never slept with him. You don't know what you're missing.
No way!
Oh. Crazy. Hi, are you lost? I'm sorry. I love all of you. I can't believe you're here. You're like literally my heroes.
God, you look familiar. Are you that girl from the television who talks about her pussy all the time?
Yes! Yes! Thank you.
How fun. Well, come sit.
Please.
Come on.
Yeah?
Come talk about your pussy over here.
Is it someone's birthday or?
Oh.
Kind of the opposite. We're celebrating Julia's last fuckable day.
Yes.
Salute. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did you say Julia's last fuckable day? Mm-hmm. What is that? Mm.
In every actress's life, the media decides when you finally reach the point where you're not believably fuckable anymore.
Well, I mean, how do you know? Who tells you?
Nobody really overtly tells you, but there are signs. How Sally Field was Tom Hanks's love interest in Punchline, and then like 20 minutes later she was his mom in Forrest Gump?
Or you might get offered a rom-com with Jack Nicholson where you're competing with another woman to fuck him. Or I just had an audition for Mrs. Claus.
You're kidding me.
I read for that part.
I read for that too.
You did?
Hey, who got that?
J-Lo.
Oh, she'll be good.
She's going to be really good.
Really good.
Mm. Or you go to a movie set, you go to wardrobe, mm-hmm. and the only thing they have for you to wear are long sweaters. Like, cover you up head to toe kind of thing.
Right, or like the poster for your movie is just like a picture of a kitchen.
Yeah, with these very uplifting and yet vague titles like Whatever It Takes or She Means Well, that kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Another common sign is when they start remaking your best movies with younger, more fuckable actresses. I guess they're remaking Boyhood with Selena Gomez in my part.
That's going to make a lot of money.
I don't understand. You're all so fuckable. Mm. Like,
believe me, no one was more surprised than me that they let me stay fuckable throughout my 40s. And the fact that it continued into my 50s, this was just like, thanks. But I thought that Us Weekly had made some sort of a clerical error or something.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it. If you shoot a sex scene the night before your birthday, everyone is like, hurry up, hurry up. We got to get it before midnight because they think your vagina is going to turn into a hermit crab.
Uh-huh. Well, is there anything you can do to delay it?
Yeah, I mean, you can try, but it only makes it worse. Like those Real Housewives. They try to look young, but then they end up looking like a purse that melted in a car accident.
Yeah.
They look like when a kid draws a face on its hand.
But what about men? Like, who tells men when it's their last fuckable day?
Honey, men don't have that day.
Never.
Well, they're fuckable forever. They could be 100 and like nothing but white spiders coming out, but they're fuckable.
I didn't get this commercial last week for AARP because the director said I was too old to play Larry King's wife.
I heard that Bruce Willis just got engaged to a girl who is 24 years younger than him, and I heard that she is an actual baby lamb.
What?
Really? Let me Google it.
So wait, are you guys like bummed at all?
What? No, are you kidding me? I'm thrilled, ecstatic. I mean, I don't have to deal with this, maintaining this anymore. I mean, it's just it's a godsend. I can grow my pubes out. Look at this. See this ice cream? It's been sitting out here for an hour. You want to know why?
Watch this, baby.
Chug, 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 chug.
Woo!
Now, your first reaction should be, that was really funny. Your second reaction should be, that's really true. And your third reaction should be, that's actually exactly what Don Lemon said. He just said it in a clumsy way in the wrong setting. But they're crucifying this guy. Now, here's the thing. Don Lemon fucked up a lot of other stuff, and apparently there was really no love lost between him and Caitlin Collins, who used to be CNN's White House reporter, and they pulled her in off that and stuck her on the morning show in this disastrous series of moves by the new president of CNN, Chris Licht. And, you know, I don't know where all of this is going to end up. All I know is this. When I say what I just said does not mean that I agree with it. I'm just saying, this is not a figment of somebody's imagination, Don Lemon's or anybody else's. This is a real thing, but it's just not tangible. I mean, look what people are getting fired for. Chris Cuomo helps his own brother and gets fired. Didn't do anything illegal. I don't even really think that it violated any standards or practices set up by CNN. I don't know. Maybe they were just trying to get rid of him. Who knows? Al Franken loses his Senate seat for pretending to grab the boobs of a woman who was asleep. He never touched her, never did anything. See, and that's the big difference between, well, another one of the big differences between Republicans and Democrats. If you're a Democrat and you do something really fairly innocuous, you're run out. If you're a Republican and you do something heinous, look at fucking Matt Gaetz, for God's sakes. Somehow it just slides and you just go ahead with your job. I don't know. I don't get it. But Tucker Carlson gone now, and Don Lemon gone now. And then the president of NBC Universal, same thing, sexual harassment. So there's going to be a lot of changes. But I don't know. What do you say? Let's go back and revisit some of the wonderful statements that Tucker Carlson has made over the years over on the Fox News.
You take a collection of dumb, desperate people in middle age, hoping to keep on to their stupid TV jobs. You add scripts and some hairspray, and they just repeat the lies for you.
It was not even
close to an insurrection. Nicotine frees your mind, and THC makes you compliant and passive. Testicle tanning, that's crazy. Talking to Trump is one of the great joys, one of the great animal joys.
Iraq is a crappy place filled with a bunch of, you know, semi-literate, primitive monkeys.
Shut up, racist! Our civilization is superior. Let's pretend for a sec that our country had a news media that was interested in bringing you the news. What were these sheep doing when you apprehended them? They call you the egg hustler. Leprechauns exist not just on cereal boxes. M&Ms will not be satisfied until every last cartoon character is deeply unappealing and totally androgynous.
I love women, but they're extremely primitive. They're basic.
I gotta go. You should stick to the thigh-high boots. You're better at that. Maybe the orange M&M is a secret sexist himself. Your mask is making me uncomfortable.
Why shouldn't I root for Russia?
Because which I am. I'm not a Putin defender.
Despite what you may have heard.
The end of the Lincoln Project. We can all celebrate that.
We want to thank Tucker Carlson for his service to the network.
I'm sorry, I just got to take a quick break and go cry in a closet while squeezing a stuffed animal.
All right, in the words of the inimitable Donnybrook provocateur Martin Dugan, listen, Randy, something else. You outraged, Ray Harmon? We're a third of the way through the year. We've already had half the tornadoes. That's not good. Just got word that Harry Belafonte died. What was he, 99, I believe? Ray Romano, recovering from open heart surgery, 90%. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not open heart, because I had a 95 and a 90. By the way, I had the Widowmaker a couple years ago, and they went in there, but they went in through my wrist, through the artery there. So regardless, Ray Romano had 90% blockage in one artery. He is recovering. He'll be fine. State of Missouri, one of the 50 states in the United States, Missouri 50th in starting salaries. I'm sold on St. Louis. I'm sold. The Packers have officially traded Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. I don't think it's going to make a lot of difference in New York. Harrison Ford says his next appearance as Indiana Jones in the upcoming Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny will be his last. I mean, could you imagine Joe Biden beating guys up in a movie and doing stunts and jumping from helicopters and stuff like that? Well, they're the same age. Sammy Hagar says David Lee Roth cares more about being a showman than being a singer. He said, and here's the quote, I thought he'd be a fun guy to know, but he ain't like that. He ain't like his persona, end quote. A guy, speaking of being at the top of his game right now, John Mulaney, his new Netflix special starts running today, and I'll be trying to find time for that sometime this afternoon because that guy is hitting on all cylinders right now. Talk about turning your life around. Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Jude Law, John Mulaney, there he is, I'm with Jimmy Kimmel, Billie Eilish, and Natalie Portman. On with James Corden, and Seth Meyers has Nathan Lane and Representative Katie Porter. Comedian Richard Lewis battling Parkinson's disease. Bob Newhart's wife, well, she was 82, and they were just celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. She passed away last week. Carrie Fisher going to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on Star Wars Day, you know, May the 4th. I'm surprised that she didn't already have one. Sort of odd. Adele is going to be the final guest on James Corden's Carpool Karaoke. U2 going to do their 91 album, Achtung Baby, and a Las Vegas residency. They're going to do that. Doesn't say when. All right, I'll look that up later. All right, birthdays today. Jason Lee, 53. Gosh, he was so good and almost famous. 53 today. Renee Zellweger, 54, at least parts of her. Joe Buck, 54. Hank Azaria, 59. Talia Shire from Rocky and the Godfather movies is 77. Al Pacino is 83. And the Hubble Space Telescope was placed into orbit on this date in 1990, 33 years ago today. 30 years ago today, NBC shocked the nation when they announced that a guy by the name of Conan O'Brien was going to be the successor to David Letterman's late night show. Billy Joel playing night two at the Savas Center on this date back in 07. Also on that same date in 07, this is when the harsh bishop, Ray Burke, remember that son of a bitch? He was the archdiocese guy, and he tore into Bob Costas. Now, Bob Costas is like an entire wing at Cardinal Gunn and Children's Hospital that was made possible from all of the money that was raised by these big celebrity things that Bob Costas was doing for years at the Fox Theater. And they raised millions of dollars and they were able to, you know, literally build a wing at the hospital. But that year, one of the performers at the Bob Costas Celebrity Fundraiser for Cardinal Glenn and Children's Hospital was Sheryl Crow. And Sheryl Crow is pro-choice. And so the Burke stepped up front and center and just tore into both of them. I don't know where he is right now. He got kicked out of the Vatican and they sent him to like Siberia or something. But I really wish that guy a slow, painful death. Did the San Antonio River Walk on this date back in 2014. We were talking about the bucket list yesterday, and living in Texas allowed me to see a lot of things that I'd heard about for a long time and places that I wanted to go, like the Kennedy assassination site and like the River Walk. And so we did that on this date in 2014. I was hanging with Ann B. Davis, Alice from the Brady Bunch, at the Library Limited. God, did I love that place. I spent so much time at the Library Limited, and it seemed like the place was always busy. I don't understand what happened there. Maybe because they wanted to build that high-rise there. So maybe, you know, those guys just came along with so much money. The Library Limited people were not stupid. But boy, I loved that place. And yeah, MB Davis came in. And I remember I was, in the process of interviewing her, and one of these lowlifes from another radio show, Stephen DJ, had their guy out there, and he was trying to get her to record wild lines, as we call them, just random lines. And she didn't want to do it. She could tell that this was not anything good for her. Back on this date in 1994, I was taking a tour of the new Kiel Center. We did a Channel 4 TV shoot for that. And it was right at the point where all the concrete and everything and all the seats were pretty much put in, but there was no color in the place. None of the signs, the ribbon boards, the flags or anything like that. It looked a little bleak in there, but there was so much interest in the place that it was great to get a tour of the place. And it was a great piece we did on Channel 4. I was really proud of that. And it was on this date in 1976, what happened in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium, some people call the greatest day in baseball. Rick Monday, center fielder for the Chicago Cubs, is standing out there. And, you know, the security is a lot different at baseball fields now. I mean, if you even look like you're going to do something like run out of the field, they'll tackle you and they'll drag you out by your ankles. But back on this date, 1976, you even still had like Morgana the Kissing Bandit running around out there. So Rick Monday is playing center field for the Cubs at Dodger Stadium, and two clowns come out with an American flag and a little can of lighter fluid, and they're going to try to set the American flag on fire in the middle of the baseball game. And Rick Monday is about, he looked like he was maybe 30 yards away, and he saw what they were doing, and he came from their blind side. They didn't see him coming, and he just came running full speed and reached out and swooped down and grabbed the American flag right out from them and took it, and I think he ran it into the dugout, and then they took the two guys who were out on the field away. And Rick Monday became famous for that. He's just standing out there playing center field. He had no idea when he took the field that day that he would leave an American hero, and he was. And Walmart says it'll be employing mostly robots by 2027. The good news is the robots will have way more personality than the current human Walmart workers. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, April 25th, 2023 is in the can. We're here every weekday morning at 11 a.m. And if you spread the word, I wouldn't object, because that helps us out a lot. You can email me, jc@jconline.com, Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
I love women, but they're extremely primitive. They're basic.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.